Well, good morning. Good to see everybody out here. I would like to welcome all the guests. We've got some people, new people here today. Very happy to have you. Hopefully that we do justice to you by coming here today. Just a curious question, something that I heard the other day. Any of you in here watch the halftime Super Bowl? I see some few hands go up. Anyway, I heard a little dissertation on that the other day from some woman who I had met at some time on Facebook from one of the Churches of God, and they talked about all the satanic symbolism that was in everything that took place during halftime. It was really interesting, actually, to listen to and realize with the Masonics and others that were involved in all the things that took place. So, just curious, it's just another sign of our times and what we live in. Thinking about the sermon that I'm giving today, I actually put it together when I was in Florida several weeks ago. If you'll remember, it hasn't been, I don't know, what, 2 or 3 weeks, I guess, since Donald Trump decided to drop the hammer on Soleimani and had him killed. And shortly after that, of course, the Iranians, decided that they were going to respond, and they sent missiles into our base in Iraq, where our military people were located. And I often, when all that took place, I was thinking, what if a lot of Americans had been killed? What kind of response would we have had? And what would have taken place then if Iran decided to respond and we were responding, and then Russia and China joined in with Iran, and pretty soon Saudi Arabia, Israel, maybe some of the European nations joined in? Well, every time these things take place, and that was my mindset at the time, they always look at the nuclear clock. The nuclear clock that always sits at 5 minutes till midnight. And then when issues like this take place, they move that hand on the nuclear clock up a minute or two. It takes place all the time. And, of course, they talked about it then. Well, when thinking about that and thinking about the nuclear clock and all the things that took place, I'd like to talk about, I'll give you a title for the sermon. It's called, What Time Is It? What Time Is It? During our working years, we get into a habit of getting up in time to eat breakfast, to get dressed, to get cleaned up, to drive to work, and go to work. And of course, all this really depends on time. It depends on what time we're required to be at work. I mean, if we show up 30 minutes late every day, probably won't have a job very long. So we need to know what time it is to get up and go to work. And I assume that most people out here probably get used to having an alarm clock. You set your alarm clock to get up at whatever time you need to go to work. I was really kind of blessed in that area. A lot of years in the military, and I had a built-in alarm clock. And I don't know what it is about the military. The military always wants to fly an airplane, but they want to fly it at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of times I'd have to go to bed and sleep and figure I got to be up by 1 or whatever it is to get prepared and get to where I'm going to go. And I had this built-in clock. It always woke me up on time without using an alarm clock. But the fortunate part about that is when you get to my age and I'm retired and I don't work anymore, I don't have to worry about getting up to go to work every day, because my working days are probably over. And fortunately, I hopefully anyway, that my wife and I have put aside enough money to carry us through these reclining years. At least I hope so. But knowing what time it is affects most of our life. We base everything on time. Meetings here at church. Suppose you didn't pay attention to what time to come to church. You show up at 11:30. You'd miss my sermon. Pretty sad. But we have doctor's visits. Same thing. I have one actually coming up Monday morning. We have doctor's visits. You notice doctors always insist that you be there on time. And then you sit in their lobby for an hour and a half before they see you. But we've got to be there on time. We have dentist visits. We have flights. If you're going to make a flight, you either be there on time or you miss your flight. So everything we do is based on time. But we constantly need to know what time it is. And it's also important to know what time we are in prophecy. Now, I'm not going to go into all kinds of detail on prophecy. It's kind of an overview in many ways. But we certainly cannot pinpoint the exact day and the exact time of certain events that are going to happen. We know that. That's specified very clearly. But we should have a vague idea of where we are based on the events that are taking place every day in the world we live in. In other words, we really should be able to read the signs of the times. We should be able to read them and see what's taking place. So my question is, what time is it? You know, in many ways, it is an exciting time to be alive. Just think about this. We're living in a time where prophecy is being fulfilled. And many of these events could never have taken place in times past. They could not have taken place until the world that we live in today. And maybe we'll get into one or two of those as we go on. It's also a very exciting time because never in the past have we ever had the opportunity to be able to share the gospel of the kingdom of God to the rest of the world like we can today. You know, look at the avenues of communications that we have available for us today. We have the use of the computers, we have cell phones, we have television, we have radio, we have printed publications we put out to the world. These things weren't available many years ago. So it's an exciting time for that. We have the ability to actually reach the whole world with the Word of God. However, there's also another way and another view of how we can look at these end time events as we approach some of these end time events. We see a time approaching, according to prophecy, that fear becomes epidemic. Think about it. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us. Actually, let's turn there. Turn to Luke 21. God tells us in Luke 21 and in verse 26 of Luke 21 that men will be dying of heart attacks from fear and the threat of things that are coming on the world, on the whole world, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Not a very pleasant thing to think about. Now, may not be in those times yet. These are all predicted event times. And you know, I wasn't going to go there, but I think I'd like to go back. Since what we're talking about here, when we're talking about the heavens being shaken and these things, we're talking about the day of the Lord. I think if we turn back, if I'm not mistaken, to Isaiah, and I believe it's 12 or 13, Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 13. Let me just read through and starting in verse 6. It says, "How? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands shall be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain like a woman who travails. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces are like burning fire, blazing fire." It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it." Notice this, because going back again, "For the stars of the heavens and their constellations shall not give light, the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not reflect its light." And then dropping down to verse 13, "Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, and it shall move out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." So that's what we're talking about when we start looking at the end times. We also know that the end times will be a time of fragile marriage relationships. If you'll drop back just a few chapters, and I've typed some of these out. I got to tell you folks why I do that. My eyes water, and I can't see real clearly, so I have to put big print in front of me. But anyway, if you'll turn back a couple chapters to Luke 17, and in verse 26 and 27, we're told, and we're familiar with a lot of these, as in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, what were they doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and it destroyed them all. You know, a very good description of the attitude today. They were not prepared for the events to come, and they had no idea what time it is. They had no idea. The third end times, or the next end time event, is a falling moral standards. Continuing in Luke 17, since we're there and in verse 28, and it says, "And as it was, the same way as it was in the days of Lot," what was taking place in Sodom at that time. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planning, they were building. But on that day, Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. I think it kind of echoes the attitudes and what we see in a lot of the people today in the world. And it is also a time when everyone is so busy and so wrapped up in the pace of living that they fail to see what time it is. They fail to see. Just brief, and I'm not going to turn there, but when you go to Daniel 12 and verse 4, and we're all very familiar with this, but it says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, when," what? "Many shall be run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Once again, very indicative of the times that we are living in. Are we too busy to see what time it is? And has there ever been a time in history that we've had the knowledge available that we have today? Never. And there is no question that no time in history have people had the ability to travel to and fro like we do now. I think about that, and I think about the coronavirus. Very frightening. Another end time thing that we look at could be a very frightening event. We've got people quarantined all over the place. There's a lot of speculation about where all that came from. But seeing all these events take shape, how do we cope with these prophetic last days? How do we cope with it? Let's turn back to Luke 21 to get a picture of what those last days look like. Luke 21. We will also be given signs of things in nature. Verse 25 and 26. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars," similar to what we read in Isaiah 13, "and the earth, distress and anxiety among the nations." Think about that. We certainly see that today. There's a lot of anxiety when we look at the conflicts in the Middle East, the conflicts we have with China, the conflicts that we have with Russia. We're a very divided world. "The seas roaring and the rolling surges." And as we read earlier in verse 26, "men dying of heart attacks from fear and dread and the things that are coming on the whole world. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And are we not already seeing some of the increase? It appears to me, I could be wrong, but it seems to have an increase in the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the, look at the fires taking place in Australia and changing weather patterns. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of things that seem to be heading toward a culmination of events. But we will also see signs in the nation, still in Luke 21. And this time in verse 29 and 30. Then he spoke a parable to them. He said, observe the fig tree and all the trees. When they have already begun to bud, and you look at them, you yourselves know that summer is near. I was thinking about that the other day when I was thinking about all my daffodils in full bloom until they got covered in snow yesterday. What a shame. But should we not be watching Israel and the other nations in the Middle East and the alliances that are being formed among these nations? Is summer not indeed near? With the sophistication and the power of the weapons in so many nations today, is it not important to see the signs of the times? Look at the damage that was brought to Japan when we dropped the atomic bombs at the end of World War II on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And brethren, that was 75 years ago. 75. The weapons of today are much more accurate and powerful than they ever were then. I mean, I know I've put a lot of years in the military, and I've been out of the military for almost forever. And I know you can look at a Trident submarine that can fire 16 different missiles in different directions with nuclear warheads on them. That's one submarine. Now you think about that and put it into perspective. And today, you're looking at Russia, U.S., the United States, Russia, China, England, Pakistan, India, France, and probably a few others that possess the nuclear weapons. And certainly their armies are much better armed and much more powerful today than they ever were in the history of the world. Many of the things in prophecy could not have been possible until our modern times. They just could not have been possible. Another area of prophecy to consider is that the technology now exists to monitor world communications. I know I just got hacked. I think I told several of you got hacked. I had to get rid of everything. But in Revelation 13 and verse 17, it tells us that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know, it's amazing because I remember when I first joined the Navy, and it was amazing. They paid us in cash. I remember standing in line. I've talked to a couple of you about that. You stand in line. You come up and they say, oh, okay, Kemp. And they go down the list and say, okay, you got your $27.50. And they count out the cash. It wasn't much higher than that. You guys laugh at that. But I remember when I joined the Navy, the pay for somebody in recruit training was $78 a month. Not a lot. But anyway, now everything is done electronically. You know, it won't be long before cash is obsolete altogether. I'm sure some of you in here probably remember getting a Social Security check in the mail. I know I did for a number of years. Can't do that anymore. You got to have a bank account. Everything's done electronically. Just another sign of the times. We're also told that it will be a period of time when very few will be looking for and expecting the return of Christ. You know, in Matthew 24 and in verse 44, we're told, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not think. He'll come as a thief in the night. We don't have any idea of the exact time. No man or even angels know the time and the hour of the return of Christ. But when we see the signs of the times, we need to be prepared. Are you prepared? Don't become complacent because it appears that Christ won't be coming for a long while. You know, one way we should cope with the signs and the end time events is to take part, to actually be part of spreading the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Never had the ability to do it like we can do it today. We have a mission that we need to fulfill. We're not just to be sitting around waiting for Christ to return. That's not what we're required to do. Turn to Acts 1. Turn to Acts 1. In Acts 1 and starting in verse 7, it says, "And he," speaking of Christ here, "he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." Once again, we're not going to know. We don't know the exact day, the exact time, when it's going to happen. "But you yourself shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then what are we to do? We got the Holy Spirit. What is our role in these end time events? It says, "And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth." In other words, brethren, we have a work to do. We are to be part of that work. We are to be part of making sure that we spread the truth of God to the rest of the world. And quite honestly, speaking about that, reaching out to others should help us to cope with the things shaping up in the world. You know, when you go out and you help and you work and you serve others, it actually is good for yourself. You know, we need to focus on studying and keeping the truth until his return. And we're to be witnesses to the world, not just sitting around waiting for Christ to return. One final thing to consider when coping with these end time events is diligent Bible study and prayer. I think that comes without saying. We know that. Studying God's word. The Bible builds faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. It's imperative that we take time to study the word of God. And more importantly, God's word helps us keep, believe it or not, helps us keep from sin. Notice what we're told in Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 11. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll give it again. Give you a few minutes if you want to turn there. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. It says, "With what shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you." And he says, "Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." But notice verse 11. "Your word I have laid up into my heart so that I might not sin against you." Is it important that we study the word of God to keep from sin? You know, we must also be diligent in our public worship. We need that because we need others. We need other believers, and we're going to need them more as time moves on, as we get closer to some of these end time events, especially in the last days. We're told in Hebrews 10 and in verse 25, and we've used this scripture many a time, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together like we are today, even as some are accustomed to do, but rather encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So don't kid yourself, brethren. We need one another. We need each other as times change. Let's get a realistic look at these end times. Turn to Matthew 24. We're going to get a lot of the same stuff that you get in Luke 21. But in Matthew 24, and beginning in verse 32, and again, it repeats the same thing that it did in Luke, but it says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches have already become tender, and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. In like manner also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even to the door." So if you don't know what time it is, just watch the end time events as they begin to unfold. Verse 34, "Truly I say to you, this generation shall in no ways pass away until all these things have been taken place. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." But notice again in verse 36, "But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You know, once again, nobody is going to know the exact time, the exact date, but we should have a clue as end time events start taking place. So we need to keep that in mind so we'll be prepared. Verse 37, "Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, What were they doing? They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they were not aware until the flood came and took them all away. And notice, so it also will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Will we heed those warnings? Or will we be like the people of Noah's time? And then it says, then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and one shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the one shall be left. Brethren, the return of Christ is going to take the world by surprise. We will have hints. We will have things that will give us a hint of where we are in prophetic time. But it will take the world by surprise. We need to always be ready and prepared for the return of Christ. Remember, those who doubted Noah's message of repentance, they were too busy. They were too busy living it up and having a good time to accept the truth. They were unwilling to heed Noah's warning. Only a small minority of people living today are actually living a Christ-centered life. Very small minority in the billions of people. Most are so taken with their self-interest and their personal pleasures, they don't have time for God. They're so consumed by pleasure that they ignore the signs of the times. You know, God's plan will interrupt the plans of those pleasure seekers. It's going to interrupt them. God will be sure to come. We know he's going to come. The flood came and he proved Noah's warning to be true. And so Sodom burned. Were the people prepared? They were too busy living it up, having a good time. The return of Christ will even take Christians by surprise. So what should we do? Continuing in verse 42, it tells us we are to watch. Watch therefore. Why? Because you don't know in what hour the Lord is coming. Very clear. He's given us warning. Every Christian, you know, they need to know and study and see the events taking place. We'll never know the date of Christ's return. You know, we've had many, many over the years that have claimed, I know, it's going to be October 3rd, 1918, or whatever it is, and it's been over, and they've always been wrong. What then do we know about the return of Christ? What do we know? We know he is coming because he told us so. This is what he had to say in John 14. In John 14. In John 14 in verses 1 through 3, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. You know, in his revelation to John, a couple familiar scriptures, but in his revelation to John, he also had this to say. In Revelation 22, and in verse 12, he said, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each one according to his work shall be. And then again in verse 22, he says, he who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. So we know he's coming. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. We don't know the time, but we are to be prepared. And we're to read the signs of the times. So what time is it, brethren? What time is it? Well, it's time to wake up like you were going to work. It's time to get dressed. It's time to be prepared for the coming of Christ. The Apostle Paul had this to say in Romans 13 and beginning in verse 11. That's Romans 13 and beginning in verse 11. He said, now consider this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour that we should be roused out of our sleep. In other words, he's telling us it's time to wake up because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Continuing in verse 12, he said, "The night is almost over. The day is drawing near. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And of course, we're very aware that darkness is Satan. The armor of light is Christ. Verse 13, "Let us walk decently as in the day, not in the reveling and the drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and emulation, like they were in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, by the way. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make any allowances in the flesh to fulfill its lusts." We need to wake up. We need to clean up. We need to be prepared. And once again, Paul said it very well in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. He tells us, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. "For this reason, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So I ask, brethren, what time is it? What time is it? The time is now. The time is now to be prepared and to do the work that we've been given before these end time events fully take place. And now, it's time for me to sit down.